I want to talk to you about nothing is impossible. We're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah. How many remember in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah? You remember the stories? There's multiple stories about Abraham and Lot, Abraham and Isaac, his son on the mountain, Abraham and Sarah when Abraham lied. Wow. Don't believe Abraham lied? How many know he lied? How many don't think Abraham ever lied? Well, how many of you have never lied? Okay. Well, that's typical of our nature. But this morning I want to talk to you about Abraham and Sarah and when they were promised that they were going to be given a child. Of course, Abraham, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but parts of it. But Abraham basically and Sarah thought this wasn't going to happen. They were getting late in years. And in fact, it was Sarah's suggestion that the handmaiden, Hagar, why don't we have a son through Hagar? And that's what they did. And Ishmael was his name. But that was not God's promise. Or what did God promise? That he would give a son through Sarah. Be Abraham and Sarah, not Abraham and Hagar. And we're going to look at that this morning. There's some laughter in this passage, and I want to look at that this morning. But I think laughter is good for us. And me touching the mic over there. Seriously, I'd already had my hand on it, and I'm like, this is not really good. But I think laughter is good for us. So I have a couple of stories for you to maybe help you laugh. Here's a prayer for the day. Are you ready? Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been grumpy, nasty, or selfish. And I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need your help. Amen. I mean, you can say amen to that. You've been there. My husband and I, the story says, been married for 50 years. Recently, we made some changes in our lives. He lost 50 pounds. And after being a housewife since we got married, I went out and got a job at a restaurant. When I came home after my first day of work, I gave my husband a big hug. He seemed to cling to me longer than usual. Did you really miss me that much, sweetheart? I asked. No, he replied. But you smell so much like pancakes, I'm having a hard time letting you go. There have been moments of laughter in all of our lives. Some have come from family, some among friends. And we all need a good belly laugh now and then. Probably some of you can remember at the dinner table where milk has come out of someone's nostrils because of a well-timed statement. How many have experienced that? How many have been the one the milk has come out of? Yeah. Stories I can think back of me being in church when I used to really pay attention. It's amazing that I realize how much I'm like, Lord, I prepare all this and I know they don't listen. I went to church. I remember me and my friend back in the day when blue jean jackets came in with the snap buttons. And we're sitting next to each other. We had this brilliant idea. Isn't it amazing, though? You sit in church and you don't realize what people can hear. Except when you pull out a piece of candy and you begin to unwrap it. And the only reason you're afraid somebody will hear you is because they're going to want it. Anyway, me and my buddy were sitting there, and I'm probably 11 years old. We both got these blue jean jackets. And all of a sudden, we just started snapping them together. Got our wrist all snapped together. And about that time, we're about done, and my dad snaps his fingers, points his finger at me. He was sitting about three rows in front, did the little thing like this. And, oh, man, then all you could hear was... I probably, the pastor must have stopped preaching. I don't know. All I remember, I was in trouble. That wasn't funny at the moment. It's funny now. Tons of stories about our children who misbehave in church. On one occasion, this story is told, the child was acting up, so the parent picked them up, was carrying them out of the sanctuary. The child looked back at the congregation and said, "Pray for me." Another occasion, a child began to whistle during the prayer time. A mother looked at her child with horror and anger. What are you doing? And the child innocently replied, I asked God to teach me how to whistle. And he did. Those are some of the times it's probably the most hard to discipline your children because they're so funny. This morning I want to look at a couple of accounts of laughing in the Bible. This case, it is the parents known as Abraham and Sarah. Found in Genesis chapter 17, 18, and 21. So we're going to look at some different accounts this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word would be living and active. It would penetrate the depth of our hearts. And we give you thanks because your word is good. And we taste of it today, and we will know that you are good. Amen. This is one of the first records of laughter that we find, and there's two different times that we see this of Abraham and Sarah. They're in their old age, and they are told they're going to have a son. And here's the account, Genesis 17, verses 15 to 17. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are to no longer call her Sarai, which actually meant mockery. That's what the word Sarai means. Her name will be Sarah, which means princess. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she'll be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Abraham probably responded like many of us would have if we had heard this news and we are 99 years old. We would have responded. I mean, the man's 99. In fact, he's already calculated that in 9 months, I'm actually going to have to be 100 at the minimum for this to take place. Not to forget, and be careful, men, when you talk about your wife's age. He doesn't forget. He's like, my wife is 90. It's not a normal age to be having children. But why did Abraham laugh? Because it seemed absurd. It didn't seem impossible. He had given up on the idea of Sarah ever bearing children. First of all, Sarah's too old. She unfortunately has not been able to conceive all of these years at any point. And Abraham is content to let Ishmael received the blessing. Let's look at the next verse. This is what Abraham said to God. Verse 18. And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Abraham was basically saying, I mean, God, this seems to be the easier way to handle this. I mean, this will move things right along. And I mean, God, look at the situation. I'm getting quite old and I don't even know if I can handle a child. Not to mention my wife. But in verse 19, God talks back to Abraham and says, then God said, yes. Now, I want you to note something. God does not deny the natural. He doesn't deny the truth. He says, yep, you're old and she's old. That's the truth. But your wife, Sarah, will bear a son. You will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Now get this. God tells Abraham to name his child that's going to be born of Sarah, name him Isaac. You know what Isaac means? Laughter. Make them laugh. Laughter. What an irony. God will never let Abraham forget this moment. You laughed, so name your boy Laughter. I don't want you to ever forget this. Somewhere in Abraham's heart, I'm sure he wanted to believe what the Lord was saying, but it seemed too incredible to be possible. Abraham's laughter was not from joy. He was laughing at something he considered impossible. Now, there's a good lesson for all of us in this morning because of the things we say and the things we think. I need a volunteer this morning. First one up. Okay, first one up. You raise your hand, you got to get up. Here, I'll use both of you. Come here, Alex. Come on up. You hold that. And I want you to take this. You might need it. Take that. Did you brush your teeth this morning? All right, that's good. Take that. I want you to open it up, and I want you to put it in there. There you go. That's good. Wait, is this the way you squeeze your toothpaste at home?
Yeah. I usually put that much on there.
It usually uses this much. You're wasteful. Don't you know you squeeze it from the bottom? Right, everybody?
I thought you wanted me to put a lot in.
All right. Isn't that the correct way, folks? Okay. What I want you to know is there's many times that we have thoughts, and then out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths speak. Here's what I want you to do. Alex, I'll give you the task. You hold that, and I want you to put it back in. Here. Maybe you need to work together there. Does this help? How you not going so well there, guys. Getting in there? Take a couple of years, it'll get in there. Here's my point. This morning, if we're not careful, folks, the thoughts that we have out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. And once something's said, can't take it back. Can't get it back in. In fact, it's amazing. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Go brush your teeth. Wait a minute. My point was, my wife actually picked this up, and I thought, you see, what name is this? Aim. Aim your words carefully. Amen? I just made a mess. All right. Thanks, guys. Did you know the same thing is probably true of our words? We'll say something, we'll hurt somebody, and they'll say, you take that back. You remember hearing that? But you couldn't. There was no way you could take that. Once you said it, it was out there. Because you can't put the words back in your mouth. That is why we have to be very careful about the things we say. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Say that with me. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Folks, I think we talk too much sometimes. All of you know the nursery rhyme or the saying that goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. It sounds nice, but it isn't true. Words hurt. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Our words can cut like a knife. They can hurt others. It's very important now that we be careful about the things we think and we say. Why? Because that scripture, out of the abundance of the heart, whatever is being thought about, it's going to come out of your mouth. I want healing words to come out of your mouth. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, once we've said something, you can't take it back. We have to be sure that our thoughts are pleasing to the Lord. Here's a thought for you guys this morning. Men, Abraham, from this point forward, throughout the rest of his life, no longer calls his wife Sarai, mocking her, mockery, but he calls her princess. There is a healing in that. Can you imagine Sarai hearing these words again and again? Sarai, mockery, you're being made fun of, you're barren. Being changed to you're a princess. You're part of a king's palace. You have everything you need. Folks, it's so important that our words honor men. I'm telling you, we need to honor our wives. We need to be careful our words. It is amazing in school, if you'll recall, and probably even in the workplace, how quickly we attach names in a negative way. We look at somebody and we make fun of them. We mock them. And the Word of God is teaching all of us. Folks, let's be careful. Because God, when He makes a new creation, right? Folks, we need to look at people that way. We don't need to wait till they're changed. We need to speak words of healing and life. The second account of laughter is very similar to Abraham's. In fact, this time it comes from Sarah. Let's see what Sarah did when she heard about her son being born. The Bible tells us that three visitors came to the home of Abraham and Sarah. Two of them are identified as angels, and the other is called the Lord. The word there is Adonai. This is most likely the pre-incarnate Christ appearing. Did you know that Christ didn't appear just in the New Testament? Where was Christ? Christmas is coming, and I get to teach you about it. Where was Christ? Where has He been? From the beginning. For the Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word. See, and Christ appeared. We see Him appearing here. In fact, it's Him that talks. In fact, Genesis 18, verse 10. Then the Lord, and you'll see that in capitals, that is the word Adonai, then the Lord said, you got that there? I need that up there. It's at the bottom of page 8. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Sarah, like Abraham, was not laughing out of joy. She was laughing because she thought, these visitors have shown up and they don't know me. They don't know how old I am. She was pretty sure that this statement, it must be a mistake. They've come to the wrong home. It was impossible for her to have a child. It was a silly notion to begin to even think about it. It was so far off the basis of truth of what really could happen, she thought it was funny. Listen to what happens next. Genesis 18, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. God Himself, He hears the laughter, and He addresses the situation. He understands that Sarah's not laughing because she's delighted with what the Lord's saying. She's laughing because she believes it's impossible. And God's response to Sarah is basically this: Sarah, your God in your mind is too small. God asked this question: is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, the expected answer from us is no. I mean, you're the God who created the universe. You did it with your own words. You're not limited by anything you made. I mean, what seemed impossible to Sarah was not impossible with God. But this message not only applied to this moment in history, but He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It applies to our lives. It applies to those who have families. It applies to those who don't have family. It applies to anyone who feels like they're in an impossible situation. What about those that are facing infertility? Is your problem too hard for the Lord? What about those that face overwhelming illness in their life? Is that illness too hard for the Lord to heal? What about those who look at their rebellious children and they feel like it's hopeless? The problem has just gone too far. Do you think it's too hard for the Lord to reach out and redeem those children? What about those who have old wounds and hurts in your life? It seems impossible to overcome. Let me ask you, is it beyond His power to mend your heart? What about those who had the privilege of being raised in a dysfunctional home? Was that a privilege? In the Bible, it looks like to me God uses dysfunctional people more than anything else. I want you to know God can still unravel the mess and He can heal the pain. What about those who feel like your marriage is hopelessly done in? I want you to know the God who made you one can also make you love again. And this list could go on and on, but these are probably enough examples to help you and I see that we need God's help. The simple laughter of Abraham and Sarah remind us that we often start laughing at situations when we should be trusting. See, that can't happen. I want you to know with God, all things are possible. Often we throw our hands up in the air when we should be putting them together in prayer. There's so many times in our life we're prone to focus on our lack of strength instead of looking at His sufficient strength. Abraham and Sarah were reminded that God is the one who spoke this to them. He is the omnipotent God. He is the all-powerful God. I mean, He takes the dead and He speaks life and they come to life. Lazarus, come forth. And this body that was dead comes alive and walks out of that tomb. Loose them. Well, where are we in our thinking? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He can heal broken relationships. He can heal broken lives. He can do whatever because all things are possible. Say this with me this morning. Say, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Say it again. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Say it again. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Say it again. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Say it this way. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Come on, folks. Say it. Nothing is anything too hard for the Lord. Folks, one of the things in our lives that we need to start working into our lives is believing in what the Word of God says. We've heard it, but we have not hid it in our hearts. We've not let it churn over enough in our lives. We've not let it be the abundance of our hearts where our mouths begin to speak. The Lord is good. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is our healer. He is our redeemer. He's my provider. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. We've got to get our hearts set on Him. It's like the song a few minutes ago. We tend to look at everybody else. That's what Sarah and Abraham did. They looked at their physical situation. But God doesn't, He's not limited by the natural. He is supernatural. There's another time we laugh in this story. It's found in Genesis chapter 21. Verse 5 says this, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children. Yet, I have borne him a son in his old age. Did you see Sarah sitting there with Isaac in her arms? It's almost too good to be true. And she begins to laugh out of joy now because God brought laughter into her life. There's several reasons for her laughter. She laughs for joy at God's faithfulness. Sarah thought, how incredible it is. I'm 90 years old and I'm delivering and nursing a baby. I mean, God promised. The promise seemed impossible, but God did what he said he would do. Sarah could only laugh now with delight as she thought about God's gracious love toward her. How often do you sit back and think about what God has done for you? Have you looked back and kind of shake your head going, God, it's amazing what you have done. I do at times. I look at my own life with my own speech impediment. I look at the things I was as a child. I would have never, ever dreamed I'm doing what I'm doing today. Because it wasn't my dream. It was God's. And I look back and I go, God, you don't know what it is for me to stand in front of you. I still feel inadequate at times because of my speech. And I know I talk a little nasal. And I'd rather be singing to you because it doesn't come out that way when I sing. But folks, I have to do what I look and I shake my head and say, God, why me? Oh, but God, you can do what is impossible. When a little baby is told to the parents, your child, because he didn't get enough oxygen when he was born, he is probably going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life. I can imagine my parents for the first few years of my life. And even when I began to make noises, I could not make clarity in speech. They didn't know whether I could speak well or I was understanding. I was put in classes that I had to learn. And I was put in the special ed classes. That's where I learned. I was put in the special reading classes because I couldn't speak well. My mind was functioning well, but I could not produce it fast enough to meet the status quo. But God said, I have an anointing, I have a purpose, I have a plan for that little one. And here I stand today. Folks, with God, all things are possible. Quit listening to the reports of everybody else. And let's listen to God again. I'm amazed at what he does. She also laughs with wonder at the blessing of parenthood now. Can you think of anyone who would have appreciated being a parent more than Sarah? She's 90. She has waited 90 years to have a baby. For 90 years, she wished she could have a child. Sarah lived in a world where women who were unable to have children, they were mocked. Hence her name. Every time she saw a family together, she could ache in her heart for what she could not have. Every time she saw Ishmael and Hagar together, it reminded her of her own failure. For Sarah, parenthood was the greatest thing that could happen to her. It was a blessing that exceeded what she ever hoped for. Sarah, who once laughed because of her doubt, now laughs because of her joy. She laughed with delight to be a part of the creative process of giving birth to a child. Sarah didn't take this moment for granted. Her motherhood was not going to be a burden. It was going to be a privilege. Some of you know what it's like to wait and wait and then finally be blessed to have a family. Some of you have had to overcome pregnancies that have ended in pain and disappointment. There are many of you who can understand today this kind of laughter because of what you've been through. Most of us, oh, we love our children and we say we wouldn't trade them for anything. Many times we lose sight of the great blessing that they are. We forget the sense of wonder that we had when we first held them in our arms Parenthood is a big responsibility. It has countless obligations, but we must never forget the tremendous privilege that the Lord has given us. Having children gives us a chance to appreciate God's goodness in a new way. Parenting is a privilege we must never take for granted. Sarah appreciated the opportunities. When my children were born, especially my very first boy was born, I immediately wanted to go out and buy him a baseball glove and a basketball and a tennis racket. Though the child could not appreciate it, it was a gift that came out of my joy and my anticipation of what was ahead. I'm imagining playing with my son. I'm imagining doing things with him. I went out with my girls and bought them a dress because they couldn't appreciate the dress either. They drooled on it. I was already beginning to think of my beautiful little girl growing up and anticipating the day that I get to walk them down an aisle and give them away. Even the first days, us dads, do you remember tearing up thinking about your girl leaving home? I talk about not letting my girls date till they're 30. I'm really looking at that, thinking it should be 35. Culture has changed. We talk about how strict we'll be on screening their boyfriends, and we do it early on before they're a week old. Why? Because it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be a part of molding their lives. But what happens? Many times this opportunity turns into a drudgery, and something starts causing us to complain about the things we have to do for them. When did we start seeing our opportunity and our privilege as a burden? We have to guard our hearts and remember the blessing of the Lord. Let me ask you, when was the last time you thought about the blessing that God has given you by calling you His son and daughter? Now that's something to laugh at. Like you're worthy of being called God's son and daughter. I mean, what have you done? Why do you receive that privilege? Because of grace. See, we could all laugh at it and say, I'm not worthy. I can't believe God would let me be His son. That He would give me all the privileges of His household. He did that because He loves us. Because He cares about us. When was the last time we stood in the doorway of our children's rooms and tears began to roll down because of the blessing? When was the last time we wanted to help our children grow and develop and we really saw the privilege of it and we didn't complain? Like Sarah, we need to understand that God's faithfulness, His undeserved blessings in our life, especially the blessings of family, we need to receive them and cherish them joyfully. Here's a few suggestions for the week. I wish you could post a sign somewhere in your home, be it on your bathroom mirror, your rearview mirror, a sign that says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? When you get up and you look in the mirror in the morning, is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe on the refrigerator door, when you're dieting, is anything too hard for the Lord? Folks, it doesn't matter the situation or the circumstance. I'm telling you, with Him, all things are possible. When you're tempted to despair, if you can remember those words, is anything too hard for the Lord? When you feel like you can't handle life anymore, is anything too hard for the Lord? When you face impossible situations, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the next time you feel like laughing at God's promise, Remember who it is that made the promise. For He is faithful. Take some baby pictures out this week. Remember the joy that you felt when you first held your child. Remember how much honor you felt when you were given that gift of life. This account of Abraham and Sarah is a unique situation. We really don't anticipate hearing about any other 90-year-old first-time mothers. As unique as their story is, the lessons in it are for us today, and they transcend all generations. They're lessons that we need to be reminded of again and again. I want you to know this morning that nothing is impossible with the Lord. Pastor Matt, would you come? This morning, here's how I want to end this service. I don't know what you're going through. And this morning, when you think about your situation, you kind of laugh in your spirit and say, yeah, there's really no, that's not going to happen. I want you to know if you'll turn it over to the Lord and you'll pray for His will to be done, it will. I love the scripture, and we quote the second half of it so much. It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Remember that one? Do you know what it says before that? Submit yourself to the Lord, to God. Then resist the devil and he'll flee. Folks, so many times we miss the first part. We spend so much time trying to, in our minds, we battle the enemy. When if I just would have submitted on the first part to the God who all things are possible with. And that's where I begin to walk. I know it's just afternoon. I do apologize. It's not my heart to carry a long service. But folks, I want the Lord to receive the honor. This morning, if you have a need, I've asked some people to come and to pray this morning. But I want to pray with you. I want to anoint you with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. I want to believe that God can do what we might consider impossible. With Him, nothing is impossible. You say, well, I prayed about it already. Well, why don't we pray about it again? I don't want to give up on the Lord. It's been easy to and laugh it off. But to, you know what? I'm looking for the day like Sarah. God's brought me laughter. He's promised and He's fulfilled it. Folks, I really believe the Lord is our healer today. I really believe the Lord is our provider. I really believe the Lord is the lifter of your head. I don't know what you're going through, but I know the Lord, and He is faithful. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to come and stand along here, and we're going to begin to pray for you. And I'm going to believe God to do the impossible today. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing. Father, put faith within us today. And as we close this service, Lord, we're not closing You out. For You are our strength. And Lord, it's to You that we come. So Lord, have Your way and do the impossible. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this morning, if you have a need, we're just going to worship. You can be dismissed whenever you feel that's appropriate. And we're just going to pray for those who have needs this morning. The Lord bless you. Keep your faith in Him. Write it out somewhere in big, bold letters. Is anything.